Well, when I was a kid, memorization was something that I had to do a lot of. I remember in school, memorization was involved in math. We had to go through and memorize the multiplication tables. Then we would have timed speed tests to see how many of those multiplication tables we could do in 60 seconds. In history, we had to memorize the various presidents of the United States down through time. Remember, in geography, we had to go through and memorize the continents and the nations and states and capitals, and we had that knowledge tested as well. And so the reality was, growing up, memorization was a huge focus and a huge part of my education. But the reality is, honestly, that now that I'm an adult and now that I'm settled in my everyday life, memorization doesn't seem to play a big part of what I do today. The reality is, I frankly don't have much of a need or really much time to delve into memorizing, and it's just honestly not become a major part of my day-to-day activity. Now, probably most of us will recall a best-selling book that came out a number of years ago by Robert Fulghum, and it was titled, All I Ever Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. And I remember that book being quoted often in sermons and different messages over the years. I think the reality is, a modern-day concept to that could be titled, All I Ever Really Needed to Know, I Learned Through Google. Because the reality is, we're in the information age, and we're in the technology age, and information is right at our fingertips at almost every moment. We can take out our smartphones, we can go to our computer, we can look up in Google virtually any information we would need and have it at our fingertips in virtually a moment's time. And in one sense, that's nice. That's a convenience that we do have. But also, it seems to discourage the concept and the need for memorization. That's just a result of the day and age we live in. And honestly, in some aspects of life, I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that there's certain things I don't need to try to clutter into my brain. If I need to know that information, I can simply go look it up very quickly. But for brethren, for you and I, other aspects such as the Word of God is something that we should be implanting into our memory. It's something that we should be internalizing in our lives on a daily basis. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. Now, taking God's Word and internalizing it through memorization is a practice that is going to benefit us greatly throughout our Christian lives. When we ingrain God's Word into our memory, it actually becomes a part of our very nature. It becomes a part of how we think and how we act and how we respond in situations in life. When God's Word is ingrained in our minds and in our hearts, we tend to use that as the lens through which we view everything else that's going on around us. King David referred to the process of internalizing God's Word as hiding it in his heart. Let's take a look at that passage back in Psalms 119th chapter, which David uses this phrase. We're going to look at one verse, Psalm number 119 and verse 11. And in Psalm 119, verse 11, David says, Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So what David is saying is, I've taken your word. I've internalized it. I've made it a part of my innermost being. I've buried it deep down inside me where no one can take it away, where it can't be removed from me, and where it's going to be with me every day. Brethren, I think that's a process that you and I need to go through as well. Now, the purpose he lists here for doing that, and the benefit of doing that, as he says, is so that I may not sin against you. So internalizing God's Word helps us to develop a lens through which we view life. It helps us to direct our focus and be able to quickly identify what is sin and identify the ways that we need to respond to it and the ways that we need to resist those temptations. When we have the Word of God internalized, it's always with us as well. You know, we don't have to jump onto Google. We don't necessarily have to spend a lot of time searching through Scripture to try to find a concept, because God's Word is eternalized in our heart. We have it at our disposal when we need it. And so when that is the case, we're going to be able to call it to mind and put it to use when the time comes and when it's necessary. Now, having the Word of God internalized will aid us in the way that we deal with others and society around us, and it's going to aid us in the way that we deal with one another as well. I don't know about you, but many times in my daily life, I oftentimes have people ask me why it is that I believe what I do, or what it is that is the truth of what I understand. And the reality is, actually, for me, it's happened many times in recent years, and more specifically this last year, probably more than it's ever happened in my life. I actually have an employee who's somewhat interested in the Bible, and he knows that I study the Bible, he knows I listen to sermons, and so he's asking me quite often, he says, well, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about that? You know, he's not asking me what I think about it, he wants to know what the Bible says about it. And so it's in those situations then that I have to recall to mind what scriptures that I can remember that I have internalized that relate to those subjects that he's asking about. So we'll be more readily, brethren, to give an answer for the hope that lies in us when we have the Word of God internalized in our hearts. Also, we're going to be seeking advice and encouragement from one another when we come together to fellowship. Fact is, in the body, we're here to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to build each other up. And so when we have questions, when we have problems and difficulties, we're going to come to one another seeking advice and counsel. And the best advice and counsel that you can give your fellow brother or sister in Christ is going to come from the Word of God. So again, if we have those things internalized, we can use it as a great benefit in lifting up and building up and strengthening one another in the body. Let's look at Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16, because it speaks to this point. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul speaking here, and he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So when we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, it means we've internalized it. We've hidden the Word of God in our hearts. And when we do, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, it's going to flow out of us in ways that we can build up one another and in ways that we can use it to glorify God. Now this passage is talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it's a way in which we can aid one another. These are things which are coming from the Word of God. So we can use those things to aid one another, to build one another up, and to ultimately glorify our Father in heaven. Now, one thing I appreciate in many ways about our hymns and the hymns that we sing before services is that a lot of them quote scripture straight from the Bible. And for me, I know growing up in the church and having my adult life in the church, many times during the week I'll go out and I'll find myself humming or rehearsing some of these church hymns in my mind, and these lyrics and these principles are coming to my mind because we've sung them for so many years in the congregation. And I think a lot of our hymns, particularly a lot of the Dwight Armstrong hymns, which pull words directly from the Psalms, to me has been one of the strongest and one of the greatest memory scripture aids that I've ever been involved in my years in the church. And so I think we can never underestimate or devalue the value of simply showing up and singing hymns of praise to God. Now, when Moses died and Joshua took over the leadership of Israel, Joshua was given instructions by God as to how he should lead Israel, and important instructions that I think we should would do well to heed as well. So let's go back to Joshua, the first chapter. Take a look at these instructions just briefly. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. And here God says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. He says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Verse 8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So So God said to Joshua to remember my words, to put them in your mouth, to speak on them often, to meditate upon them, to internalize them in your heart. And he said if he would do that, then it would go well for him. And by extension, that same principle, brethren, applies in our life as well. Now God also set a similar standard for the kings of Israel as well. You recall that when a new king came into power, one of his jobs was he was to go and to copy for himself the law of God. You know, the priest didn't come up to the king and hand him a book. He didn't hand him a scan or a photocopy or you know, any kind of a copy of the law and say, here, learn this. No, the king himself was actually to go and handwrite the law out in a book for himself. And the point was, it was to help ingrain in his mind the word of God. And he was supposed to keep that book with him the rest of his life, and he was supposed to read from it and study from it, and it would help to guide him and instruct him in how to lead and direct the people of God. Again, even the kings of Israel were to be internalizing and taking to heart the word of God. I think, unfortunately, we can see that didn't always occur. I don't think it actually occurred for very long or very often. But the fact is, that was the principle that and the standard that was set for them. So hopefully you and I see that memorizing and internalizing the Word of God is something that's going to be a great benefit to us. And hopefully we'll put forward the effort to do it. If we fill our minds with the things of God, see, our mind's a kind of an open sponge, and it's going to absorb whatever you put in there. If we fill our minds with the things of God, then that's a good thing, because otherwise that void is going to be filled by so much of the rest of the clutter that's in this world around us. So let's fill our mind with the things of God. Let's internalize this scripture. Let's internalize it deep down in our hearts. Let's work on memorizing the Word of God so that we can be a benefit to one another and a benefit to the world around us. Now, I would like to wrap up my message today by introducing a trial run of something that I'm hoping will be a benefit to us in our local congregations, and that is a weekly focused scripture. So the plan is each Sabbath we're going to announce during the announcements a weekly focused scripture, and the main intent is that it'll be a scripture that you'll commit to your memory. And we're going to use scriptures that uplift, obviously, and solidify our doctrines, solidify our teachings in our minds, solidify core principles of the Word of God that we want to be able to readily recall into our minds. But beyond memorization, I hope you'll actually take it and make it a point of focused Bible study throughout the week. Because more than a memory scripture, it's actually intended to be a focused scripture. So please take it, and again, this is voluntary. We're not going to be handing out tests. We're not going to be, making sure you're doing your homework, but if you feel compelled to do it, it would be a good exercise to take the scripture and to meditate on it. You know, ask the who, what, when, where, how, and why questions. You know, who was the author writing to, and what were the purposes? And what were the circumstances, you know, surrounding that scripture? And how did it apply in the day it was given? And how does it apply in our lives today? See, an important part of memorizing and internalizing scripture is we have to make it personal to us in our lives now. So take the scripture, because I can't think of anything more than the Word of God that would be personal to us. So please take the scripture and see how it applies, how we can use our lives to be benefited by those passages in which we'll study and which we'll read, and make it personal to you. I've actually found that over time, the best way that I've been able to really internalize Scripture by studying it is to actually take and use it in a sermonette or in a sermon. Because the fact is, a lot of research goes into just that, the history and the background and the Greek and the Hebrew and the different aspects of the Scripture. And there's been times where I've actually given a sermonette on one Scripture, and a lot of the men have. And you can bet if they get up here and they talk for 12 minutes on one Scripture, the reality is they've spent hours breaking it apart, turning it upside down, inside out, and seeing what there is to learn from that scripture. And so I just encourage all of us to do that as well. Harvard researchers actually conducted a study, and they did different brain mapping studies and different scans of the brain. And through MRI scanning, they found that the two lobes that showed the most activity when the memory was being used is the frontal lobe and the temporal lobe. And what they discovered is when they took a list of words and they showed it to their subjects, the words that caused the most brain activity were the words that had the most meaning to the subjects. In other words, their conclusion was the more meaningful the information was to the subjects, the more likely they were to retain it and to remember it. So again, the principle is we need to make these passages personal in our lives as well. So brethren, in conclusion, the Word of God is the foundation of knowledge. It's the basis on which we're going to build all of our knowledge, all of our understanding in this life. And so let's not take it lightly. Let's not assume that we could just look up a scripture on Google if we need to, or go to eSword on our laptop if we need to find it. Let's work on internalizing these things. Let's study the Word of God. Let's commit it to memory and bury it deep down within us. And then we too will be able to say before God, "Your word I have hidden in my heart."